What if I told you that a country in Europe disappeared for 50 years? No war, no collapse, just silence. While tourists flocked to Greece and Italy, Albania, sitting quietly between them with equally stunning coastlines, made itself invisible. No visitors allowed in, no citizens allowed out. For half a century, it simply vanished. The result was one of the most extreme isolation experiments in modern history. A stunning country that spent half a century perfecting the art of vanishing. While the rest of Europe modernized, Albania froze in time. Today, what was hidden is finally visible, and some of it might genuinely shock you. Beaches that were forbidden for generations, Roman cities lost to myth, and mountain villages where medieval blood laws still govern daily life. This is Europe's ultimate time capsule, finally unlocked. So what happens when a country hits pause on the modern world for half a century? This is the story of Europe's vanishing act and the remarkable places that refuse to disappear. Long before Albania disappeared from the world, it helped shape it, and the echoes of that lost greatness still rise from Butrint's sunken ruins. Most people couldn't point to Albania on a map, but 2,000 years ago, it was the opposite. Every major power in the Mediterranean knew exactly where it was and wanted a piece of it. Ships from across the sea were drawn to Butrint, a glittering crossroads where Greek merchants, Roman legions, Byzantine emperors, and Venetian traders all left their mark. This wasn't some forgotten outpost. Even Virgil called it Little Troy, the place where Trojan refugees rebuilt their shattered world. Walk through Butrint today, and you're walking through layers of history that would make Rome jealous. The Greeks carved a theatre here for international crowds. The Romans turned it into a bustling port with forums, aqueducts, and public baths still standing. And early Christians added a baptistry with mosaics that rival Ravenna's best. Three civilizations, one city, stacked like time capsules waiting to be uncovered. But here's the twist. Butrint isn't just ancient, it's disappearing. Rising lake waters are slowly claiming the city. The lower areas flood seasonally, turning Roman streets into waterways and the Forum into a shallow lagoon. Ancient columns emerge from the water like monuments to a lost world. The irony is perfect. A city that once opened Albania to the world now lies half submerged, forgotten by the very civilization it helped build. Today, adventurous travelers can scuba dive through Butrint's flooded Roman streets, swimming by ancient shipwrecks and over historic artifacts scattered across the lake bed. From Butrint's international past, we head north to a city that tells a different story, one of survival through adaptation rather than connection. In Berat, history doesn't sit in museums. It stares back at you from 1,000 windows, each one a silent witness to survival. For over 500 years, Berat mastered the art of survival through adaptation. Christian churches and Muslim mosques stand peacefully within blocks of each other, not because anyone forced tolerance, but because both faiths learn that coexistence beats conflict. Ottoman houses shelter Albanian families who've weathered empire after empire by bending without breaking. This was Albania's survival code: bend, don't break. When the Ottomans came, Berat didn't resist, it adapted. Through every empire and border shift, families in the Kala Quarter just kept living, behind the same carved windows, under the same traditions. Walk across the Gorica Bridge and you're stepping into Albania's original survival blueprint. Inside Berat Castle, families still live among 13th century walls, sharing their ancient home with the Onufri Museum. Byzantine icons survived 5 centuries of Islamic rule. The crown jewel is Onufri's Virgin Mary, her golden robes shimmering against intricate metalwork. Here, faith and art have endured centuries of change. The City of a Thousand Windows earned its name because every frame became a witness. For centuries, they watched empires rise and fall, and the people behind them quietly outlasted them all. Albania didn't need to disappear to survive, it just needed to adapt. But one day, that wasn't enough. The same windows that once watched survival would soon witness silence. To understand how Albania went from adaptation to isolation, we have to climb into the mountains where a very different kind of wisdom took root. Atop Rozafa Castle in Shkoda, legend says a woman was buried alive to keep the walls standing, a sacrifice Albania seems doomed to repeat. Rozafa Castle needed more than a foundation. It needed a sacrifice. According to legend, 3 brothers watched their fortress crumble night after night until they made a pact. Whichever wife brought lunch first the next day would be buried in the walls. Rozafa arrived at dawn. They entombed her, and the fortress never fell again. It's a brutal story, but it captures something essential about Albanian survival: strength through sacrifice. For over 1,000 years, Shkoder guarded the mountain pass to the sea. The Romans built it, the Venetians fortified it, the Ottomans took it. Survival always came at a cost. Below the castle, the old town spreads along the shores of Lake Shkoder, connected to the highlands by the ancient Mez Bridge. This Ottoman-era stone arch has carried merchants, armies and refugees across the Kir River for centuries, a lifeline between the fortress city and the mountain clans beyond. The Marubi Photography Museum nearby holds Albania's visual memory. For 3 generations, photographers captured what Albania was becoming: mountain chieftains in silver uniforms, merchant families dressed like Europeans, and highland festivals celebrated for centuries. These black and white frames show the final moments of an Albania that knew the world before the world forgot Albania existed. From strategic sacrifice to something darker, We head into the mountains where survival wasn't a tactic. It was a way of life. Here, isolation wasn't imposed by politics. It was carved by rivers, enforced by mountains, and lived by codes older than the state itself. Lake Komen didn't exist until communists dammed the Drin River in the 1970s, flooding valleys and accidentally creating what locals call the Albanian Alps Fjord. The three-hour ferry ride winds between limestone cliffs that rise like cathedral walls above turquoise water, revealing pristine valleys that look like Switzerland, but without the tourists. These mountains are breathtaking and brutal. Jagged peaks tear the sky above forests so dense they swallow sound. Waterfalls plunge down sheer cliffs into valleys where wolves still outnumber people. For centuries, villages like Theth were snowed in for half the year, surviving from November to April with only stored food, strong walls, and older traditions. Today, you can walk those same trails, but the views haven't changed. You're stepping into a landscape where time stood still. The path from Theth to Valbona crosses the Valbona Pass, revealing mountain meadows dotted with wildflowers, glacial lakes mirroring snow-capped peaks, and hand-carved stone trails once trodden by shepherds. At the end lies the blue eye of Theth, a spring so clear it seems unreal, bubbling up through forests older than most European cities. Step off the trail and you'll find paradise, and something far older and darker lurking behind stone walls. Ancient towers called Kula rise from the valleys. Inside these towers, families lived under siege, not from armies, but from each other. The Kanun ruled here, an honor code older than the mountains themselves. Kill a man, and his family must kill you back. Simple, brutal, endless. But the code had a strange mercy. Your home was sanctuary. The same enemy hunting you outside could knock on your door and you'd serve him dinner. The moment he left, the hunt resumed. In these mountains, isolation wasn't paranoia, it was survival. When empires rose and fell in the valleys below, the Highlanders simply closed their passes and waited them out behind walls of stone and snow. But what worked in mountain villages couldn't work for an entire nation. The communist government would take this Highland wisdom and scale it up, turning Albania's traditional mountain isolation into a modern fortress state. The architect of this transformation came from another mountain town entirely, from the cobbled alleys of Gjirokastër, where a man's fear of the outside world would define an entire nation. Gjirokastër doesn't sit on the mountain, it is the mountain. Stone houses cascade down terraces in perfect grey order, some with nine chimneys and hidden rooms behind walls thick enough to muffle secrets. They call it the City of a Thousand Steps, because no street goes straight. Every path winds and climbs through five centuries of Ottoman power made visible in limestone. The castle above tells the real story. Built layer by layer, Byzantine foundations, Albanian expansions, Ottoman additions, Each empire stamped its authority into these walls, but the stones outlasted them all. Walk the fortress today, and you'll find an armaments museum that spans centuries. Medieval swords beside captured German artillery. And tucked in one corner, something almost comical. A tiny Italian Fiat tank, one of the smallest used in World War II. About the size of an SUV, proof that even Mussolini's war machine ran on a budget. In the courtyard sits a US Air Force jet from 1957, a strange monument to Cold War paranoia. The plane didn't crash in battle. The pilot made an emergency landing due to technical problems. But the communists claim they shot down this so-called spy plane, turning mechanical failure into propaganda about foreign threats. In 1908, a boy named Enver Hoxha was born in a merchant's house somewhere below these walls. He left this mountain town for universities in France and Belgium, wrote for newspapers, travelled across Europe. For a kid from the Albanian highlands, he lived a remarkably international life. 40 years later, that same boy would become Europe's most paranoid dictator. The student who crossed borders freely spent 4 decades sealing them shut. The young man who absorbed ideas from across Europe ended up convinced that every foreign thought was poison. From the mountain city that shaped the dictator, we head to the capital where his paranoid vision became reality. Tirana is where two Albanias collide. Pastel villas beside brutalist bunkers. Espresso bars beneath glass towers that shimmer beside communist ruins. This is a city that vanished from the world for 46 years and then reappeared almost overnight. When Hoxha took power in 1944, he began the most extreme isolation experiment in modern history. Albania withdrew from NATO, then from the Warsaw Pact, then even from China, until it stood completely alone, convinced that every other nation on Earth was plotting its destruction. By the 1970s, Albania had achieved something unprecedented: total invisibility. Listening to foreign radio became treason. Private cars were banned. Typewriters were registered like weapons to prevent underground newspapers. Beaches were forbidden to Albanian citizens. Albania became the world's first atheist state, where owning a Bible meant prison. Attempting to leave the country meant death. But Hoxha's paranoia wasn't just about foreign armies. Inside Albania, the Sigurimi secret police turned neighbours into informants and children into spies against their parents. Every third citizen had either served time in a labour camp or been interrogated by officers. With 15,000 collaborators scattered across hotels, embassies, post offices and grocery stores, the surveillance became so elaborate it bordered on the absurd. If targeting a man, agents might study his shoes, replicate them with a listening device in the heel, and swap them without him knowing. Albanians learned to whisper even in their own homes. This wasn't just control, it was psychological warfare. A country turned in on itself, where silence was survival and trust became a luxury no one could afford. Outside of Albania, The world simply forgot this nation existed. Step into Skanderbeg Square and you can feel it. A vast space designed to make individuals feel insignificant. Skanderbeg's statue stands at the centre, Albania's medieval hero dwarfed by the communist architecture that surrounds him. The museum's socialist mosaic screams triumph, while the square itself funnels crowds like choreography. Even in bright sunlight, it feels like a stage built for obedience. Just blocks away stands Albania's strangest monument, a dictator's mausoleum reborn as a beacon of hope. Built in 1988 by Enver Hoxha's daughter to immortalise the brutal dictator, this concrete pyramid became the most expensive structure in communist Albania. When communism fell, so did its purpose. For years it sat abandoned, a graffiti-tagged shell where children would scramble up its sides and slide down its smooth surfaces, turning fear into play. Then came transformation. Dutch architects reimagined the relic as the Chumo Centre, a free tech hub where Albanian teenagers now learn animation, coding, and robotics, surrounded by vibrant colours instead of oppressive silence. Where officials once laid solemn wreaths, kids now climb rainbow steps. At night, the pyramid lights up against the Tirana skyline, a building that once froze a nation in fear, now blazing bright as a symbol of Albania's new chapter. But while Tirana is learning to move on, the rest of Albania is still surrounded by what it tried to forget. Across hills, beaches, and vineyards, 700,000 bunkers sit like scars, a paranoid dream poured in concrete. You can't escape them. Mushroom-shaped bunkers dot the hills and beaches, squatting like giant concrete toadstools. Between 1967 and 1986, Hoxha's regime built 700,000 of them, one for every four Albanians. That's more than twice the number of military bunkers on the entire NATO front line during the Cold War, in a country the size of the state of Maryland. Most were built for two soldiers to survive a nuclear war, though some couldn't withstand a farmer with a sledgehammer. Hoxha was so paranoid he had bunkers aimed at every neighbour, Yugoslavia, Greece, even the sea. But the paranoia couldn't last forever. When communism finally collapsed in 1991, 50 years of pent-up desperation exploded overnight. With severe food shortages and economic collapse, thousands of starving Albanians forcefully commandeered any ship they could find. They sailed to Italy. Many had never seen the outside world, their knowledge based only on smuggled TV broadcasts. The cargo ship Vlora was seized by desperate refugees and arrived in Bari with 20,000 people packed aboard. After 36 hours without food or water, many jumped overboard and swam to shore. For a people who'd been buried alive for half a century, even 72 miles of dangerous sea seemed safer than staying home. Those who remained inherited a surreal landscape, a country dotted with concrete shells, each one a reminder of the regime's madness. But Albania did what it does best. adapted. Farmers use bunkers as sheds. Shepherds store hay inside them. Some have become beach bars, artist studios, even boutique hotels. At Bunk Art 2, a bunker converted to museum, visitors describe a moving and unforgettable experience, where being surrounded by concrete walls brings them closer to the reality of fear and isolation experienced during the dictatorship. On Albania's southern coast, sunbathers lean against concrete domes that once scanned the horizon for ghost armies. The bunkers are nearly impossible to remove. Built to survive nuclear war, they resist demolition equipment. So Albania turned paranoia into opportunity. What was once the world's most fortified country is now a tourist attraction, where visitors can sleep in a bunker or marvel at the physical manifestation of a nation's fear. From bunkers built to keep the world out, we head to the coast, where isolation left behind something no one expected: paradise. And at the edge of everything, Albania opens, no longer hiding, no longer silent, just waiting to be seen. This is what isolation accidentally protected. Sharmil's beaches stretched like a string of pearls along Albania's southern coast. Turquoise water, white sand, and four small islands floating offshore in the shallows. It looks like the Greek islands, but without the cruise ships, the crowds, or the 30-euro cocktails. The water is so clear you can count the pebbles on the seabed 20 feet down. For 50 years, these beaches were Albania's best-kept secret because they had to be. Hoxha's border guards patrolled this coastline, watching for invaders who never came, while accidentally preserving paradise. No mass tourism, no overdevelopment, just untouched Mediterranean coast. Today, Ksamil is Albania's quiet revelation. Four uninhabited islands float just offshore, close enough to swim to, far enough to feel like your own private paradise. Local families rent kayaks so you can paddle between hidden coves that have no names. The furthest islands are twins connected by a thin strip of sand. Swim out and you'll have two beaches to yourself. Ksamil is just the beginning. Follow the coastal road north and you'll discover what isolation really protected. Jip Beach hides at the end of a clifftop trail that starts beside an ancient monastery. A 45-minute walk through wild terrain to reach a white pebble cove trapped between canyon walls. No hotels, no crowds, just one seasonal cafe and the sound of waves echoing off limestone cliffs. Even further up the coast, Porto Palermo Bay opens like a secret, a massive turquoise inlet with a Venetian castle floating on its own tiny island. The fortress is pitch black inside, windowless and haunting, but climb to its roof and you'll see why every empire wanted this coastline. The bay stretches endlessly blue in every direction, so pristine it feels untouched by time. In a world where every beach has been photographed, every mountain trail mapped, and every hidden gem hashtagged into oblivion, Albania offers something increasingly rare: the possibility of genuine discovery. Not the artificial surprise of a curated experience, but the real thing, stumbling onto perfection that wasn't put there for you to find. For 50 years, Albania performed the ultimate vanishing act, disappearing from the world's story entirely. But perhaps that disappearance was never the real magic. The real magic is what happens when a country reappears with everything the world thought it had lost. Untouched coastlines, unhurried rhythms, and places still worth the journey to find. This is Albania's gift to those patient enough to seek it. The promise that some places can still surprise you, still take your breath away, and still make you feel like an explorer instead of a tourist. Think Albania was misunderstood? Iran is 7,000 years of genius hidden behind 45 years of headlines. Click on screen now to witness the Iran that's been hidden from you.